Thank you to everybody for coming out tonight on this beautiful day. I know a lot of you and a lot of new faces here. I also want to thank Theater for the New City for allowing us to rent this space on such short notice. Crystal Field really was very wonderful with that. I'd like to thank Mr. Esai Morales, if we could have a round of applause for him to show up. Mr. Michael Carbonella. Yes. And how many people saw the Tonys last night on television? Yeah, if we could have a round of applause also for all the nominees and all the winners. It was excellent, yeah. That's true. I know. They had to sit around and wait while they're futzing with the...
We're going to open with a number.
Yeah. It's very, very important that all of us vote, no matter what side you're on. If you're for the merger, if you're against the merger, the most important thing is that somebody votes. I just want to say that up front. This is probably the most important vote that we'll ever take as SAG and AFTRA members, because this will create a new union, AIMA, the Alliance of International Media Artists, and it will dissolve SAG and AFTRA as we know it. They will be merged and become what's known as affiliates. And I'm sure all of you, or most of you anyway, got the brochures, the buttons, the flyers, the magazines mailed to you. I'm sure you got the phone calls. I'm sure you've been to some of the infomercial meetings that they have. I've been to almost all of them, and I don't know if you know, our dues money is paid for that, almost $2 million. And as a SAG member, I wanted to make sure that everybody has a fair amount of information to make an informed decision, being that this is the most important vote we'll ever take. And I wasn't getting that. So that being said, I decided through SaveSAG.com to produce this informational debate tonight. I think, being the United States of America, debate is one of our most basic rights, freedom of speech. I want you to all know that I tried like heck to get somebody from the opposite side to come for the pro-merger. I announced it at a meeting of about 80 people in informational, and I talked to Roberta Reardon and Sam Fried, and I shot it out to everybody, and they said to talk to J.J. Simmons, which I did. She was there at the same meeting. And she said to call her the next day, which I did. I also faxed JJ and Eileen Henry and Robert Paisano, and I also called them. But I only got a response from JJ Simmons, which I really thank her for. She was the only person who got back to me. I'm going to read to you the letter that I wrote to JJ, and then I'll read her the telephone response that I got back from her, just so you know where we stand. I wrote, as per our conversation yesterday at the open informational meeting on 48th Street, I'm requesting two pro-consolidation speakers to present their agenda in a debate against our two anti-consolidation speakers to be held Monday, June 9th. The offer of debate was put forth at several recent union and informational meetings by members and the chairpersons, including Ms. Eileen Henry, at our SAG membership meeting last month, said it could be done, but that no one had set up a date or location. Steps have been taken to procure a respected space for what is most cherished in our society, freedom of speech and a good, healthy debate. The debate will be free, open to all actors, and controlled to fairly and peacefully present both sides. I'm confident that among the tens of thousands of New York SAG and AFTRA actors, two of the pro-consolidations ones will be able to make the debate 6 days from now. Thank you in advance for your help, and I look forward to your swift response. Sincerely, me. And my name is Eric Anders Nelson. JJ did get back to me, and this is a transcription of the message she left for me. Hi. Then this is a quote. I have the letter here in front of me. I did work yesterday and today to see who could participate on Monday. Unfortunately, no one is available for Monday, June 9th, for your event from 6:30 to 9 at the Theater for the New City. I know time is of the essence for you and what you are arranging. I wanted to let you know that no one from the pro-consolidation side can be available for your Monday, June 9th event. Take care. unquote. That's it. So to be completely fair, I believe in both sides, weighing the pros and cons. I'm going to open it up to the floor. If anybody's here who feels qualified, I see several people who are pro-merger people. If you'd like to sit down and debate, it's going to be 20 minutes, and then 20 minutes we'll give our agenda, and then we'll open it up to the floor to questions and answers, which will be 2 minutes. You can make a statement or a question.
$3 rule.
Right, and then you have to donate something to, right. And then, you know, 2 minutes, statement or question, and then rebuttal will be 2 minutes back. So, if, does anybody want to?
I'm not.
Okay.
I just have a question.
Yeah. I actually invited. I invited them all in. I mean,
they're outside. What are they doing?
Well, no. I told them. I told everybody. Yeah.
Wait, they're giving out the minority report. They're not the minority.
So yeah. So people, let me. Do I have anybody who does want to debate? I already asked Gerald Klein. He declined. I asked Jody Myers, who's here from the other side. I don't know why they can, since they're here. It's available. They're 20 minutes. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, I don't want to go there.
So you're saying there's intimidation going on?
Yeah. So to be fair, let me make this clear. There's nobody here who'd like to speak for anybody. There's nobody here who'd like to speak for the pro-merger side. Nobody. Okay. So in all fairness, what I'm going to do, I have several sheets of pro-merger material that I'll read. And I promised Jody. She said she didn't want to come in. I asked Jody Myers. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. The light is. I respect your choice. That's fine. I'm just asking if anybody has, you know, would like to come up. I'm shooting it out there. And I'm just mentioning that I did offer to you and Jerry. Yeah, okay. And I promised you I'd read this. So since nobody is going to come forth, I'm going to read some of the pro-merger material. I want it very clear. I'm against the merger, but I'm for all balances and fairness.
Devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate, right. Yes?
I would just like to say that the so-called opposing group also includes the SAG group.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
we're going to, right, I understand that, sure. We're going to get to questions later. What we're going to do is I'll speak, I'll read their agenda here, and then the Save SAG side will present our side, and then we'll open it up to the floor, and anybody can say whatever they want, you know, afterwards. But first I'll read, since nobody, yeah, Joyce?
I just want to make one correction.
Uh-huh. Consolidation. I stand corrected. Legally, it's being called a consolidation. Okay, so nobody wants to speak. Am I correct on that? Okay. This is what I'm reading for Jody. If you want to save SAG, vote yes. So according to the fancy flyer I got in the mail yesterday from Save SAG, if I have any doubts, vote no. Let's see. That attitude would have resulted in me becoming an accountant, Columbus becoming a fisherman, Martin Luther King working as a janitor, FDR telling Churchill, sorry, but we don't want to get involved. Look, here's the shocking truth. The Star Wars movies are non-union, no kidding. That's why Lucas has always shot in England and now New Zealand. And he is now shooting exclusively digital. So if it ever decides to join a union, it'll be AFTRA, not SAG. Why? Because AFTRA's rates would save him a few bucks. In 2002, there were 6 pilots shot on digital. In 2003, there are 46 so far, and the year's not even half over. And they can all sign with AFTRA, most did. Save SAG? If you truly want to save SAG, consolidation is the only answer. Otherwise, 10 years from now, SAG will be withered, the withered crone who wanders around outside the El Capitan Theater telling anyone who will listen how she used to be a star. And if you go to see Finding Nemo, and the El Capitan is not a frame of film involved, not even a print. It was created 100% on computers and is being projected from a computer hard drive through a state-of-the-art digital projection system. How does it look? absolutely freaking flawless. My mouth dropped open for about 3 minutes. 100% digital. That means Disney could have recorded all those voiceover actors under and after contract. And make no mistake, the minute they realize they can play AFTRA off against SAG to get better rates, they damn well will. Save SAG indeed. Vote yes on consolidation. Tom Kane. Tom Kane lives and works in Hollywood, not paid for with AFTRA SAG funds. Okay. This is some of the pro-merger material. I'll just read some bullet points off it. It says, yes, power, consolidation, facts for actors. Facts for actors. More leverage equals more power. Consolidation will mean stronger contracts, better job opportunities, and the ability to protect and improve industry standards. It would give us new strength at the table for the next round of major contract talks. No more jurisdictional conflict. Consolidation will put an end to the travesty of both unions expending precious resources and even being forced to offer lower pay rates to preserve or gain jurisdiction. Today, both unions are competing for coverage of digital production, and our consolidated employers are taking advantage of that competition by seeking to drive the standards down to the lowest terms. A more efficient and up-to-date union. By joining together, we can combine resources and reduce waste. Consolidation means less duplication, better services, and more value for dues for every dues dollar. Greater efficiency will save millions of dollars and provide members with more effective representation. Actors control their own destiny. SAG will be the actors' affiliate, and that means greater strength for actors from the combined power of the two unions. Actors will elect their own officers and board. Only actors will vote on acting contracts. Since actors are such a large percentage of the union's overall membership, will be strongly represented on the union's board. The 44,000 people who are currently members of both unions will see their base dues reduced from $216 a year to $125 a year. An end to the three-voucher system. In direct response to member input, SAG will have tougher entrance requirements so there will be better job opportunities for current members. Protection and strength of benefits. Both unions' health and pension plans are in crisis. Consolidation sends the trustees of our health and pension plans a powerful message that we want the plans combined. A consolidated union will increase our ability to merge the health and pension plans, which will make it easier to meet eligibility requirements and maximize benefits. Consolidation will not harm your earned retirement benefits. Your pension is protected by law. A unified strategy on issues like runaway and non-union production. Consolidation will allow us to adopt a unified approach on critical issues combined action on legislation and policy is the best way to get results. This is called Consolidation Questions and Answers. Most of it is reviewed from the first page that I read. Consolidation Questions and Answers. Divided, we are at the mercy of powerful employers. 20 years ago, there were 29 major entertainment companies. Today, there are only 6 conglomerates. Another bullet point. United, we can fight back. With a single, strong, more effective union that's up to date with today's realities. Another bullet point. SAG and AFTRA waste resources fighting each other. We must end jurisdictional conflict on issues like digital production and focus our energy on building a united front. Why consolidate now? We need to keep up with the changing industry. Only united can we bargain from a position of strength. The commercials contract expires in October, and the TV theatrical negotiations will start soon after. The industry has changed. We need to catch up. Digital programming has made the union's existing strategy obsolete. We need a unified approach to tackle this tough problem now. Another bullet point. Both unions are facing serious financial difficulties as expenses rise and revenues dip. By joining together, we can combine resources and reduce waste. Question, will voting for the consolidation help the health and pension plans? Answer, it's our best hope for protecting benefits and getting more members covered. Question, what kind of voice will I have in a new union? Answer, you will have a stronger voice, both inside and outside the union. You will have a strong voice in the industry. You will have a strong voice in your profession. You will have a strong voice in your union. Question, how will union and affiliate officers be elected? Answer, officers will be elected by members. Members will directly elect the president, the secretary treasurer, the affiliate, presidents, most of the members of the board, and convention delegates. Members will elect the vice president and some board members at convention. Question, I'm a member of one union now. Will I have to pay a second initiation fee to join the union? Answer, no. You will automatically become a member of the consolidated union without a new initiation fee. And then at the bottom of the page it says, Why wasn't a minority report issued? Why wasn't a minority report issued? Answer, some AFTRA and SAG members are asking why the unions did not include a minority report in the package of materials recently mailed to all members in connection with the referendum on consolidation and affiliation. And it ends there. That's right. The third one, page is called Consolidation, Facts on Benefits. I just have two more pages. They're very quick. Consolidation, our best chance to protect health and pension benefits. Our benefit plans have had to deal with significant deficits. SAG and AFTRA are not immune to the national health care crisis that is sending health care costs skyrocketing. Moreover, the need to run two separate administrative structures wastes our dwindling resources. Members are paying more and more for less and less. In 2003, members of both unions began paying monthly premiums that are likely to increase. Also, insurance covers less. There are higher deductibles and fewer allowable expenses. Fewer members are eligible. Steeply rising requirements in both unions have made it a lot harder to qualify for benefits. Dividing contributions between the two plans is leaving members short of qualifying in either one. Status quo does not work. Maintaining the status quo threatens the cost and quality of our benefits. Consolidation protects our benefits. History proves that consolidation of the unions is our best chance to create a single health plan available to all qualifying members and eligible retirees. Less money for administration means more money for benefits. Consolidation will have no impact on existing earned pensions and will provide a vehicle to combine all credited years. All producer contributions go to one plan, maximizing chances for qualification. And the last page that I have is consolidation, facts on digital conflict. Fighting over digital drives down wages. Digital technology is taking over. The number of TV pilots shot digitally went from less than 10 in 2002 to over 50 in 2003. Congress mandates digital broadcast by 2006. In fact, USC Film School will not even teach film or TV next year because the students won't need it. SAG and AFTRA compete for digital contracts. AFTRA covers tape production and SAG covers film. Digital is neither film nor tape, and there's no agreement on who covers it. Producers are mining that for all its worth. Going back and forth between unions to shop for the best rates. The unions have no choice but to respond. When unions fight, only employers win. Overlapping jurisdiction is dangerous for any union. In this case, producers have already started paying tape terms for digital work. Tape terms are much lower than film, and the highest TV terms, in some cases, 60% lower. That means we lose thousands of dollars in earnings. We're wasting resources fighting each other. When our unions battle over contracts, not only does our pay go down, our hard-earned dollars dues are spent in the fight. With both unions facing severe financial challenges, we simply don't have that money to waste. What's more, fighting each other makes our unions look weak and undercuts their credibility. Consolidation stops the insanity. As one strong union, we present a unified front on digital programming. Instead of being driven down to the lowest rates, we can fight for the highest. The Directors Guild of America had a similar problem, but as a single powerful union, they were able to negotiate substantially higher pay for digital than the producers had been paying. Consolidation will give us efficient, up-to-the-date representation focused on delivering for members, not on fighting each other. And that's the last page I have here. So again, I'm going to shoot it out. If anybody wants to add something for 2 minutes on the pro-consolidation side, you're more than welcome. I have no takers. Nobody? Okay. Not yet. We're going to let the other side debate. But before I do that, I'm just going to read one quick letter.
Sorry.
I just have a solidarity greeting from the actor Tom Bosley. He couldn't make it tonight. Believe it or not, he's in Cabaret, and they're not dark on Mondays. They're dark on Wednesdays, so he would have been here. But his greeting to the audience is, I cannot be with you this evening to help convince you of the seriousness of this merger. This is not the kind of proposal that has been thought out properly, and not only has never had the full input from the board, but it is ill-conceived and shows a lack of prudent planning. Tom Bosley. So now I'll turn the floor over to the... I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Isai Morales and Mr. Michael Carbonella. And again, let's have a round of applause for them for showing up and taking the time to be here. Thank you.
Does that work? We're actors. We project.
Hello.
Okay, well, like a lot of things now. Oh, I get it. Duh. I'm not working. I've been in this union, 25 years or so, worked at many contracts. Basically, I was in the boardroom when we had the vote to go forward or not. And a lot of us that would never let what is happening here voted in good faith just to go forward to explore, to see, because we really wanted to end a lot of the divisiveness that seemed to be miring us. And I have to say there's a minority. I joined a couple of years back and came close to being frightened off by boardroom politics and things that I wasn't familiar with, but I do notice a pattern. And the pattern in this case is that those people with the glossier communications campaign, the people with money, the people whose relatives are big PR folks or whose agents and managers are pushing this ATA conflict of interest situation, I call it, they're organized and they're kind of monolithic in their approach. So it's a very difficult situation to get in a boardroom where a lot of people like myself who are working actors who've been talked to some, you know, involved in this business and want to do the right thing, get basically told what is right for the union and not. And what happens is we don't have the time to really look. We don't have the time to figure these things out. And I voted okay, let's explore it. Next thing you know, it came out in the press that the board unanimously votes to go ahead for the merger, and we did not say that. We specifically said no. So right away, you know, please know that I will attest to that falsity. The fact that they're holding back the minority report, they're holding back their own access here because they obviously know when to pick their fights. They obviously, there is organized methodology behind this. And usually that means there's a much larger thing at stake. Yes, they're consolidating. They're even consolidating our union into their needs. They have one of their management guys now running the thing with, of course, I used to be on the other side, and this is how we screwed you over. Well, he's on this side, and I can't help to say it. I met the man. He's very nice and charming. But I still feel like we're getting screwed over. I came to serve the union, not to serve it up. And what's happening is it is being served up. Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry. Let me interject here. We're not taking questions yet.
But I will try. I will try to address the issues.
No, Joyce, I'm sorry, we're going to take... Paisano,
Mr. Paisano.
After we're done, at the end of 20 minutes, I said at the beginning, please.
In all decorum, we will answer as much as we can.
Yeah, we'll answer as much.
Basically, you know, again, when I ask for evidence and people subject me to all kinds of name-calling or telling me that such and such people are crazy... I look upon the person who's saying that, and I wonder, what are you hiding? When we walk here with our messages and me with my heart, and we have these people giving the thing that they would not give, which is the minority report, would not let the membership see, but somehow they're bringing it to you. Meanwhile, they're rebutting everything we say. That's duplicitous. That's acting like, you know, you want to do something, but you're undercutting it at the same time. What we have is we're up against a major disin and misinformation campaign. So this is the difficulty I have, which is basically trying to put out fires everywhere else. It's a distraction. The magazine that I was on the cover of, Screen Actors Guild, I was on the cover of in a little box talking about Read Across America, of which I've been a member of Book Pals for years, promotes this thing, and it almost makes me feel like I'm being used, in a sense, to seem like I'm for this. So I'm here to say, read the fine print. Once we go ahead with this, there's no turning back. We're giving up our sovereignty. We are Screen Actors Guild. The point is, it doesn't matter. It's not Film Actors Guild. It's not Video Actors. It's screen. And if we end up on a screen, whether it be little or small, we should be considered the same kind of craftspeople. The fact of the matter is that we're being absorbed, that one of the greatest unions in the history of the entertainment industry will no longer be autonomous. We do not share the same interests as broadcasters who don't mind breaking into our privacy, you know, to get their stories. It's a whole other mindset, and our interests will be further sidelined. So I'm going to give it over to Mr. Carbonella, who is, on a factual basis, much more armed. But I can tell you one thing. If you look at the patterns and you ask for evidence, and all you get is hyperbole and promises and big stories. Bigger means stronger. Well, it didn't to AOL Time Warner. It doesn't all the time. If we have a joint negotiating ability with AFTRA, why are they threatening us that they're going to undercut us? They're in bad shape financially, politically. The music industry is going down. A big source of revenue for them. So they need to merge with us to basically raid our pension and health. They need us to stay alive. And this is how I feel. I feel like we are the gem here. We are the ghosts in the machine. We are the actors that basically sell the products that industry needs. They need us, and we need to keep it specific to our talents.
Thank you, Isai. I'm not quite as eloquent as Isai, so hang with me. I'm going to be a little bit more technical. I need a script to be as eloquent as that. But anyway, I'll get to some of the points. You know, he's saying that they're being duplicitous, and they are, because there are so many things they're putting out there, and that's one of the reasons why they won't sit on the dais today, that are just blatantly false. And just a few quick examples is the film school thing that Eric spoke of in their literature. Francis Fisher contacted the head of the film school over there in California, and she asked her, she said, is it true that you're not teaching film anymore come the fall? And she wrote back, no, that is not true. We're teaching both film and digital. So it's one lie of many thrown in there. Another thing that the pro-merger side says is they speak frequently of how 44,000 members are both members of SAG and AFTRA and how their dues will go down. They don't speak about the 105,000 members that are members of just either SAG or AFTRA and how their dues will go up. So although 44,000 members' dues will go down, 105,000 members' dues will go up. Jurisdiction. AM does not exist. It will not exist until both unions ratify this agreement, if we do. That means that the AMPTP, which is who we negotiate with, we do not negotiate with six companies or 500 companies. We negotiate with the AMTPT, and it doesn't make a difference how many companies they represent. It's just one that we're negotiating with. They don't have any agreement with the Alliance of International Media Artists, and nor do they have to. If we decide to wipe out SAG and wipe out AFTRA and become AM, then we're going to have to renegotiate our jurisdictional control, which means the producers have a power play that they could use against us. And they can decide to go non-union forever. They can say, you know what? We've gone union for 70-something years, and we're going to try non-union for a while. Pisano himself, when asked in a board meeting, will AFTRA salaries be raised to our salaries, instantaneously, without thinking, said, no, we'll probably meet in the middle somewhere. So if you look at like a SAG weekly contract, which is $4,500 a week, and an AFTRA weekly contract, which is roughly $1,700 a week, and you meet somewhere in the middle, we're looking at like $2,800 a week. Now, that means we would have to do twice the amount of jobs to make essentially what we would make with one job. Now, we all know that those jobs aren't there. The jobs are leaving. The jobs are going to Canada. They're going to Australia. They're going to New Zealand. And that's one of the things that actually makes AM attractive. You know, it's the Alliance of International Media Artists. So we should, in a way, go international. But the question is, should we go international through AM, or should we go international with SAG acquiring these other things, not merging with them, but swallowing them up? And the reason why I say this is because there's no other actors union in the world that receives residuals. We are the only one. And being in the boardroom and being around with during the time of negotiations, I can tell you that the producers always try to get rid of our residuals. And it's always a battle to keep them in there. Now, how are we going to keep residuals in there when the actors' part, which the pro side is so frequent, again, of saying that, you know, we're going to be more represented. The actors will be more highly represented than the broadcasters and than the recording artists. But what they fail to bring up, and what very few pro-merger people bring up, is the branches part of this agreement. Now, when you get to the actors' side of how the AM Council, which will be running everything, actually runs, you'll notice when you go to Section 3E, the SAG Council members, which is essentially the actors, that Hollywood votes for their delegates, that New York votes for their delegates, and that the branches vote for their delegates. Now, what this means from a legal point of view is that if we swallow up British Equity and we swallow up ACTRA, that they're now going to become their own branches. So even though the actors will be more represented, will be represented by individuals who come from a completely different background than we come from and that we're used to being treated as. Their contracts don't shine next to ours at all. They do not compare. There's no comparison. We have the greatest performers' contracts in the world. And there's an old saying, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. So if you erode the guild, if you erode the union, you're eroding everyone. You know, you become as strong as your weakest link. That's one of the things, one of the reasons why, if you look at our contract, they put in the three voucher system. That actually has hurt us in negotiations. Now, I've been on the board, and I've suggested, among other board members have suggested, of wiping this out. And they've never had, the people who are bringing this to us, have never had an opposition to waiving that out. They always say, oh, yeah, we should, but they're never for it. They never let a discussion take place about it in the boardroom. And now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to get rid of the three voucher system. It's just another ploy to suck all of us in, you know, vote yes for power. They have these clauses, but they don't stick to the contract that they themselves are bringing us. For instance, federal law, you have to be 21 years old to drink. Under this AM Constitution, you can be 18 years old and be the president of AM. Now, SAG is a huge organization. AM is going to be a much greater organization than SAG. Can you picture an 18-year-old being the president? Someone who's unfamiliar with how the world works, with the wickedness of the world, with how attorneys operate? How can an 18-year-old realistically run an AM union? They cannot. But the people who wrote this don't care if they can, because the power lies in the National Executive Director. If you read this, the NED has the sole power to fire, hire, basically do everything. Everything resides in his power, not in the power of the SAG board members, the AFTRA board members, or the AFRA board members, who are really just there for show at that point if AM goes through. Okay, wow. My mind is racing. Hang with me. You want to take
something? We already cover this jurisdiction, by the way. If you look at the Screen Actors Guild, it says even electronic recording devices. Electronic. This is what digital is, basically. And now the thing is that before it used to be after covered television and radio artists. Well, the fact is that digital is electronic, and we can fight. What's the problem? People seem to think we're going to lose in a jurisdictional war with AFTRA. Why, when we're more armed and we're better, I think, better prepared to win such a fight? That's a thing. I think that what's happening is that the fear tactics that if we don't do this is what everybody is being motivated by. If we don't do this, we're going to suffer. Well, I don't think so. I don't think rushing into a new organization that gives up all of the sovereignty that we've struggled so hard to develop is the answer, and that's my issue. Again, I'm not against merger.
I'm against this merger because it is not clear. And I'd love for someone to address the question.
That actually brings up another good point. There has been a lot of battles going on, and SAG has been losing many things in our contracts, and there is a new world taking place. The question is, the people, once again, who are bringing us this, who are the same people that are going to be running this new organization, they're the same ones that have not done anything to stop what has been occurring. For instance, we're spending between SAG and AFTRA almost $3 million on the propaganda of this merger. Yet, the FCC on Monday had a ruling where they just gave the networks and the radio stations a greater percentage of the market. They can now own up to 45% of one market. Where was SAG and AFTRA representing the artist? You know, if we have $3 million, well, Joyce, you could ask a question later. Where were they? You know, they're not putting the money in the right places. They're not funneling their energy into the right tunnels. And that's what's been hurting this guild. This guild has been running a deficit for 4 years. Absolutely true. But whose fault is it that we're running a deficit? Maybe it's the fault of the individuals who are not going after new signatories, who are not making sure that money's being collected. We already have so many rules in place in our contracts that are not being abided by our own staff, that if we were to look at that, and I raised this issue when I was the treasurer, if we were to fine some of these production companies for many of the things that they do that we do not fine them for, we could increase our revenue by a couple of $1 million a year just on that alone. And that was not done. Another thing that happened when I was treasurer is I found well over $1 million sitting around in bank accounts not earning interest. Now, if these people who we're trusting to administer the funds of our union in the proper allocations are not doing these things, well, what else aren't they doing? You know, they held back the Mercer Report, which is a 40-page study that the trustees of the pension and health plans commissioned to find out what would happen if SAG and AFTRA's health plans merge. And this is pretty much 40 pages of negative side towards merging the two plans. Now, our trusted leaders are withholding this from us until we vote on the merger, the same way they withheld the dues increase in our pension and health before the last election. No one mentioned anything before the last election that we were going to have to pay $55 and $65 a month if we want to continue in our health plan. Yet that happened right after the election, and there was nothing they could do about it. Yet no one mentioned this months before the election, saying that, you know, hey, our health plan's in trouble, and we're going to have to raise there was none there. We never paid, so it's not even raised. We're going to have to initiate a new fee that never existed before. So you have to ask yourself, if they're hiding things again, then what is it that they're hiding, and what are the surprises that are going to be thrown at us that we're unaware of? You know, I am not an attorney. Esai is not an attorney. You know, we're not going to be able to sit here and go through all the legalities of every little thing. But what we're raising here are questions that all of us should ponder and say,
is this what we really want?
Is this what we really want? You know, if it's such a great deal, why do they have to hire GMMB, which is one of the best public relation firms in the world?
Their motto is, we modify people's behavior.
Yeah. So they're modifying our behavior. Now, you know, as actors, we also know how to modify people's behavior because we do it all the time when we're on stage or when we're being filmed. You know, that's our job. So I think many actors actually see through that, because the word I'm getting through speaking to many individuals is that, you know, they're being bombarded so much that they realize it's like a brainwashing thing going on here. And they're actually getting turned off by it, which is a positive note for our side. But, you know, in the end, each one of you individually will have to make your own decision. I've made mine, and Esai's made his.
They told us it would be a wild west if we did not let the agents take more of our behinds, basically. They said it would be untenable. Who knows? We would not want to deal with that. Well, it came and went. You know, the fact is that if we let ourselves get abused, we will. And the real fact is that I got a lot of celebrity friends I got to get on the phone to and go, why are you doing this? Why are you voting? Why are you lending your name? Because I know people that are on that board that just got glad-handed, you know, just, hey, buddy, how you doing? You're going to vote for it? Okay, great. And the guys don't know. The gals don't know. They just, can I actually, I would like to read a letter from Francis Fisher, who actually wanted to address the folks here. Or in whenever that's
supposed
to be. Because our two minutes are over. I'd like to just read a letter. Hello, New York, for Francis Fisher. I joined AFTRA here 27 years ago and earned my Screen Actors Guild card here the same year. I pounded the pavement along with a lot of you and got my heels stuck in many a grate. Some people have called me one of the leaders of the anti-consolidation movement, but I am not a leader. I am following my heart. I am following my conscience. I am following my passion. I am following my gut. I am following the instincts that have led me to be able to make a living in this most honorable profession. And with every fiber of my being, I know that this consolidation is wrong for actors. And it is being presented as the only solution to a host of evils. As in, media conglomeration. It doesn't matter how many companies are merging and owned by a few giants. The truth is that we will only ever bargain with the AMPTP for TV theatrical and the JPC for commercials. It doesn't matter if those entities have 6 members or 600. They are the only entities we collectively bargain with. Jurisdiction, the digital war. This could be handled by going to the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. But nobody in the SAG leadership has done this. It could be done, but they want this merger more than they want to fix the problem. And they are predicting that if we vote the merger down, that the problem will only get worse, implying that they have no intention of fixing this. But we will. We've edited this. Stella Adler taught me that all the answers were in the script. Understand the author, you will understand the script. The authors of this consolidation script are foremost Bob Paisano, our national executive director, who loves to tell us how, when he was on the management side of the table, he just, quote, whipsawed the actors, end quote. I venture to guess that old habits die hard because this issue is tearing our union apart right now. I have dear friends on both sides of this issue, and the SAG leadership, instead of working for a solution that the entire membership can vote up, is content just to get the 60% plus one that is necessary for passage of the referendum. I find this reprehensible, because no matter how this goes down, a close margin will split this union apart. The rest of the committee who say they created this consolidation were the same people who wanted to sell you out to your agents. Instead of our agents working for us, allowing financial interest, would have begun an irreversible practice of the actor working for the agent. That committee, because they are also on the board, voted against sending out a minority report. And no matter how you skin this cat and how they try to talk about a 25% threshold, the truth is that the National Board of Directors has the power to grant a minority report, even if only one person asks for it. Their reason for not doing so? They don't want to give the minority equal weight when the ballots go out. Why? Because they know that side by side, the safe SAG minority in the boardroom but representing prevailing membership opinion has the irrefutable arguments that any thoughtful person would immediately understand. They're hoping that if they inundate enough people with yes propaganda and call them at home to remind them to vote, that they will get their quota. They have no real desire to inform the membership of anything but their way of thinking. And we want you to read another opinion. And make your own decision, because no matter how you vote, you have to understand that this is your union, not paid staffs and not Paisanos. Read the script, understand the authors, and you will know how to vote. And if you don't know, vote no. Thank you for your attention, and my God bless us all.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Esai Morales and Michael Carbonella. Before we go on, I want to point out that our current president, Melissa Gilbert, is for this merger. However, there are actually 6 past presidents who are against this merger, and I'll explain. There's Howard Keel, who was president from 58 to 59, Charlton Heston from 1965 to 1971, Kathleen Nolan, she was president from 1975 until 1979, Edward Asner, he was president from 1981 until 1985, and people forget about Sumi Haru, and she was president for about 6 months, and that's when Barry Gordon stepped down to pursue a congressional career. That was in 1995, so she would be the 5th. And then William Daniels is against the merger. He was president from 1999 to 2001, and we'll open the floor to questions now. So Joyce Corbin.
First of all,
SAG is not the only union that gets residuals. As a matter of fact, AFTRA got residuals before SAG. And AFTRA got residuals that were 100% residuals.
I said internationally.
No,
you said the only union that has.
In the world.
He meant the world.
I meant in the world. And you know what? I'll take that back because you're right. AFTRA does get residuals.
Ronald Reagan.
I've gotten them through AFTRA. But I'm speaking internationally. Once we start swallowing up the other unions, after
but we're talking
be
about now, Michael.
SAG,
we're talking about
so
now. We're talking about now. And if you're going to make a statement, please make it factual. Ronald Reagan introduced residuals to the SAG boardroom when he was the president, and he refused to allow them to give residuals from 1960 back. Don't applaud that.
That's right.
No, because those people are starving.
You people know that. That's why I'm applauding, and I thank you for bringing it up.
June Haver washing dishes in Venice because she's not getting a residual for all the work she did is disgraceful.
We agree with her. I agree with you on that, but how does that make anything I said about British acting?
No, it's something factual that might
be.
Secondly, how can you say that SAG and AFTRA did nothing for the FCC? They went to every hearing. Michael Powell wasn't there, but they went to every hearing. They lobbied Congress. They fought as hard as they could. Michael Powell cast the dissenting vote. Don't say that SAG and AFTRA did nothing against the FCC. They worked very hard. But the FCC, Michael Powell, refused to have meetings. That's number two. Number three, contracts. I have seen the contracts in Screen Actors Guild erode every single negotiation. I have seen us go background from 175 background down to 85 and 40 on the West Coast. I have seen us give up double days. I have seen us give up everything. Because when we go into negotiations, the producers say no, and we cannot stand up against them. And we give up to the producers.
I agree with you, Joyce.
Now, this is Peter, and when you say we are the only actors union in the world, I work under AFTRA and SAG as an actor in both unions. So don't say we're the only actors union. You know, SAG is not synonymous with God. SAG is only an entity. And unless we decide that it's time for us to stand up, be strong, and face those giants, and take a giant step and leap into the future, we will be swallowed up like everybody else.
We agree with you.
Okay, thank you. Joyce spoke, and then you'll get a two-minute rebuttal.
Okay, you're absolutely right.
And excuse me, but I get very emotional.
We're all actors.
We all get emotional.
We're from the same tribe.
You're absolutely right. AFTRA does receive residuals. One of the reasons I did not consider them when I made my statement is because AFTRA will be with SAG in this huge new union,
AMA, Alliance of International Media Artists.
AMA, okay. We will be together with AMA. We will be the core of AMA, the original part of AMA, okay? What I'm speaking about was the branches when I was speaking, and once we start going out and collecting more branches, it's those branches who are different, okay, from the perspective of an actor. You're right, AFTRA does receive residual. I've received many residuals through AFTRA, and I'm more than happy to concede that point to you. Second of all, the FCC. I would like to know how much money we spent lobbying the FCC. We could spend $3 million between AFTRA and SAG for a merger that who knows if it's going to pass or fail when we're both in the red. But how much money did we spend lobbying the FCC? $50,000? $75,000? I doubt even that much. Okay? That's number one.
This is what I mean in context.
Number two, background. You talk about the background actors' numbers going down and how we've lost in our contracts. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's my problem with this whole new AM. It's the same people. The same people who've watched our contracts erode are the ones now asking us to say, oh, give us your trust again. Give us your faith, and this time we'll do right by you. But they haven't been doing right by us for years. And that's the problem. It's the same people.
It's given us your sovereignty.
Group of people, if it was a group that was out to represent actors and truly represent actors and not represent their own self-interest, then I would be for it, because I'm not against making SAG an international union. In fact, I'm one of the people who in the boardroom who think we should have been an international union.
I'm on the committee for Global Rule 1. They said we couldn't do that, that people would just, you know, avoid. And you know what? No problems. So far, Global Rule 1 is going through.
So that's my problem. You know, I think, Joyce, me and you actually see the same things. We just see them in a different way. And what you have to realize is what I'm saying, the same way I realize what you were saying. You know, after receives residuals, and I'm more than happy to concede that. But you should be able to concede the fact, because you've been around longer than I've been around, and you know that it's the same people running the union. You know better than I do that it's the same people since the early 80s who've been controlling this board. Thank you.
Okay. Next question, this gentleman here.
Bernie Furstenberg. Well, first of all, the thing with the same people, those are the people that are voted in. So that's an issue that is a whole different issue.
It's factions.
But it's the people who are voted in. One issue that I do take a couple of things. I have a couple of questions. First, you were talking about money. The fat figure I would like to know is how much money does AFTRA and SAG pay just to have these jurisdictional disputes? How much are they wasting of our money doing that, which would also be eliminated by consolidation, I believe. First, you also said there's no turning back. That's not really true. We can turn this whole thing back with the same vote that turned it on. That's a law, U.S. law. That is law. The other thing, now you talked about that they, the board, got elected and didn't tell us about the raise in pension. Well, let's face it, the truth is they do not deal with the pension plan. It is a separate, again, legally through the U.S. government, it's a separate issue, and it would have been wrong to make it an election issue because they have nothing to do with that. They have not. No, the board that you're electing. But I'm saying, the board you're electing to the board of directors to SAG have nothing to do with the board of the pension and health. So therefore, they could not use that issue of, like, you brought that issue up as a major issue. It really had nothing to do with the election either before or after, because they had nothing to do with it, and they could not do anything with it because they're not trustees of the board. Then that's a problem. And the other question I just have is, You keep saying we were talking about the big six, which I believe will soon be down to the big four. Well, maybe big five, because Vivendi is now going back to Brofman. But who was the AMPT?
AMPTP.
AMPTP. It's those people. It's those big six. And on Broadway, I mean, there was a whole thing with Disney and Equity, with Beauty and the Beast. Disney, big company, decided they wanted to move Beauty and the Beast to the smaller house. Equity said, no, we're not going to allow it. So what did Disney say? Screw you, Equity. We're going to close the show. We're going to open it in 12 weeks with what we want to do. And this is what they can do with us. One more quick issue, which is really one of my biggest fears, is we're going to start playing catch-up in digital. Years ago, not too many years ago, I remember sitting in both the AFTRA and the SAG meetings, and we're talking about cable, and the whole issue was, oh, cable is not going to go anywhere. We screwed up. We're now screwed out of cable, and if we sit on our little haunches now, we're going to be screwed out of digital. Now, what this plan, which I don't have the picture to hold up, that plan is not law. It's like the U.S. Constitution. It's the U.S. Constitution. How many amendments have we got? How many bills have been added to this U.S. Constitution? It can always be changed. It can be worked on. This is just a starting point to go somewhere, and we can then improve on it.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you.
Start that one? Wait, you know, can I ask you, what was the very first thing you mentioned that I kind of missed it?
The no turning back?
No.
Before that?
Before that.
The money we spent on the jurisdiction. I don't know where I start. I jumped around.
Well,
you want to just say the line, or I might be able to figure it out. Or what you were going to say, and I could probably tell you.
Oh, the prize for the MPG?
No, that was later on, too. Was it the money we spent?
No, something else.
Oh, something
you said. Okay, we'll start with what I have here. As far as no going back, there is no going back, and I'll explain to you why. In this agreement, we turn over every single cent, wherever located, to AMA. AMA, excuse me, AMA. Once we do this, once we turn over every cent to them, and once we give them the right to negotiate for us, you know, and they obtained this jurisdiction.
You asked for it back.
We cannot get out of it. Even if we decide to start our own union again as actors and come together to start some new Screen Actors Guild, we cannot, because the AMPTP at that point will already have a contract signed with AMA to be the sole provider. Okay?
Excuse me, no.
Listen, that's not according to me. You know who that's according to? That's according to Arthur Fox, who's one of the leading labor attorneys in this country, who is also one of the heads of the NLRB. Okay? And I believe he understands labor law a little bit better than the both of us. In fact, he stated in a letter to us, because we've hired him to go through this contract, that there is no divorce ever in this marriage. The way it's legally written up, we can never, ever, ever get out with our money or with the ability to set up new jurisdictional control, because it belongs to AMA. And that's one thing. The second thing, your idea of bigger is better. You know, I'm glad you bring up federal law, because it's a federal law that a producer can hire whoever he wishes. As entertainers, we know that every single person on the street, when they walk down the street, they have in the back of their head that they're going to be discovered and that they're going to become a star. So there's 280 million people in this country. Even if we become bigger, we're only 150,000 members. 150,000 minus from 280 million still leaves well over 279 million people that the producers can go to and hire. We're not the only talented people in the world. There are many talented people that producers can find. There is no power in more of us being leveraged. Where the power comes in is in us being the best and taking the elite, the cream of the crop, and keeping us in a guild. That's what a guild is all about. A guild and a union are actually different. Do you know the difference between the two? Okay, well, I'll explain it to those who don't. A union is people who work for the same employer. A guild are people who work for separate employers but do the same work, so they all agree to work under one contract. And that's what we are. We're a guild.
Thank you. Really, okay, Mike, okay. I have a question. It was sent to us by email. This is from a gentleman. His name is Marvin Schwartz. And he wants to know, a SAG card used to say, I earned it. I'm a professional actor. And it will be meaningless. And what kind of a union will throw 40 to 50,000 after actors that fail to get into SAG into the SAG work pool? That's from Marvin Schwartz. He just wants to know what kind of a union would expand, bringing in...
I don't think either one of us heard that.
I'm sorry. No, but that, you know, again, you know, I just read something where, you know, after would not side with us on our privacy issues, where a lot of artists, once they achieve a certain amount of success, are now open pickings for the media, and where we were going to pass a bill where it said you can't stalk people physically or electronically. AFTRA couldn't, because they represented broadcasters and news reporters who want to, that's how they made. So I just don't understand how we could take the oldest, one of the oldest, it's arguably the oldest profession in the world, actually, guys, in the storyteller, and basically make it a committee. We would become a committee. And this is, and if we have to bargain our own contract separately, where's the joint power then? This is, I just feel like it's being duplicitous, and the fact that, you know, it may be reversible, but the time and energy and money that it would take to reverse it might not be enough for the few who really need that support. So I understand where the urge comes to want to merge in this world that everybody's picking sides. Like, we're in a prison gang here. We're in a backyard, and you got to join up with this group, that group, or the other, or you're going to die. The fact is that we got to, I believe, rein in our celebrities. I believe we've got to get the people who are making the millions, who used to be in the position where many of us are and were, to remember that fact. And to remember that, you know what, not everybody makes $20 million a movie for the rest of their lives. That these things are going to affect us into the future, and into our old age and into our pension. So I do believe we have to increase the communications between our more successful celebrities and actors, who are the bargaining chips. They don't care about non-A-list people. They can go to anybody else, but A-list people have something that they want. And that's marketability, that's market share, that's, you know, goodwill. We have got to continue to let these people know that they benefited from the Actors Union years ago, and if they expect to benefit again, or for the sake of humanity,
Pay attention. Get your lawyer to read this contract. Don't just ask a fellow celebrity who's being, you know, brainwashed by another one.
Mm. Okay, the young lady here.
Yeah, I've got 3 points. I'm sorry. 3 points. One is, you're right about the celebrities, because if I and everyone else in this room probably say, gee, we want more money, they'll go, screw you, we'll get somebody else. If Robert De Niro says, well, I don't know about that, they might listen to him. And frankly, our union was founded by not a bunch of extras, but Jimmy Cagney and a bunch of other major stars who said no. And because they were nice enough to include the rest of us, that's why we have anything at all. So if they don't speak up, we really don't have a leg to stand on. Second point, I received this my card in the mail. I guess everybody did. I paid my dues. And right here, it says, consolidation vote yes. Where the hell did they get the gall to put that on my card? To tell me how to, I'm supposed to vote. How dare they? I believe this is against the law. I don't know, but maybe it is.
If I may interject, there is a rule that says you cannot take SAG funds and promote something that would effectively destroy the union. But somehow,
this does not represent me. I am not. How dare they tell me how to vote?
It's like something out of, on the waterfront.
It is a federal law that staff is supposed to remain neutral. And on any issue, staff is supposed to remain neutral. And that's federal law.
Did you have another point? You said you had 3. You had...
If you want to do this, Joyce, I speak to you, I agree with you. I started in 83. First 175 people had to be SAG on a set. It's now, what, 25? Now we open it up to 40,000. I'm also an AFTRA. We open it up to 40,000 new AFTRA people who eventually might be, a few of them will, through attrition, become in SAG, and they'll figure it out and they'll get there. But not all at once. Tomorrow, 40,000, and nobody has brought up the point, hey, why don't you, the big, let's be big merger and let's join and stuff, why don't you talk about reversing the number of people you've got to hire first before you tell me I've got to now take it when 40,000 new people are going to want my job that I can't even get now, that I have to audition for an extra part, okay? That, why don't they talk about that point first? Before they tell me to swallow this crap. Because the same people who gave our jobs away, who gave away the weekends, who gave away the silent bit, those people did that. These very same people are the ones who are telling us, it's okay, just sign up. We want more power to screw you. I don't want to do that. As bad as they are. If you read the literature and what Eric wrote, or what he read, it sounds great. If you read the Russian Constitution, man, you'd sign up tomorrow. I read it. I read it word to word. You'd say it's better than ours. You know why? Because the Russian Constitution, a woman could vote. We didn't have that. We didn't have that part. It's a great piece of writing. It's beautiful. And this is beautiful, too, if we live in a perfect world. But these are the same thieves.